The following radio program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Ministries.
Our nation needs a move of God, people. And it's going to be those that are being stirred to pray for this nation that will step up and be used under the hand of God and regarding especially the agenda of God. I don't know about you, but I run out of words in the first 10, 15 minutes. I can have a list and a litany of what to say, but truly when we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to use our voice, but it's His words, His agenda, all of a sudden you find that you will be empowered to pray in a way that is beyond yourself, and that's what we need as a nation. He loves this country. He raised this country to get the gospel around the world, and that's one of the reasons that He gave us prosperity. But over the decades, we've turned it on ourselves, the pleasure of prosperity, and have lost the vision as to what this great country was raised up to do. And as a result of that, we're seeing now what happens to a country when she turns inward. It's time to reclaim what we're about.
Are you ready to join the reclamation that Herb Marx is talking about? Are you ready to become part of the chorus that takes back our country, not to politicians, but to God? Then stay tuned for a National Day of Prayer special edition. That's next on Sought Out Global Radio. And we welcome you to Sought Out Global Radio. I'm your host, Mark Grote, along with Sought Out Ministry leaders Herb Marx and Krista Pitcairn. And our special guest today is George Watkins. George has been part of Sought Out Global Ministries now for the last few years. He serves in the capacity of the board of directors and is one of the advisors to this ministry. George has over six decades serving in ministry, and in his last pastoralship, he was in that role for 29 years. So, George, thanks so much for joining us and being part of this broadcast.
Nice to be here today.
Really good to have you, George.
And today is National Day of Prayer. And we thought it was really key and timely to talk about prayer for our nation and our response to prayer as a country. And Herb, you had some strong impressions about this. And why don't we throw it to you first? And why don't you just bring our listeners along to some of the key things that you think that God is saying to us as a people, as a country, and to us personally about prayer?
Every voice counts. Every voice that's lifted up. Today especially, and the fact that our nation has called it particular day, and it happens to be May 7th today, that every person who believes that prayer works, that sound is lifted up. It moves God's heart when a people cry out in unity. And in Joel chapter 1, it speaks about the calling of the assembly of the people together, and for the purpose of lifting up a sound, a corporate sound. And so with every listener that hears our voices today, let us just encourage you and remind you again that you need to be part and to lift up your sound, because I believe it's all collected. There's not one voice that drops to the ground. I mean, our Father in heaven listens and hears and notices every person who lifts up their heart. And when this corporate sound is lifted up for our nation, It causes things to happen. So again today, if there's anything that moves your heart with what we're going to share in the next few moments, it would to help you to rise up and lift a sound before God for these United States, because we're, I mean, it could be said every year that we need to be praying for our country, but I believe that the U.S. is in the strangest place. We're in a precipice unlike the history of this country, where it's going to take prayer, because I believe our conscience is lacking in this nation right now, and it's time to ask God to breathe upon this great land again, and also for us to rise up in what is right and not shrink back and allow and cry out for God to re-energize America's conscience, that she would really rise up again into righteousness like she used to stand.
There has been a lot said about the time that prayer in schools as a nation was stopped country.
Mark, you would have to pick on that one.
Don't you think that that is, was that the beginning of something that really changed?
Oh my gosh, you guys. The SAT scores plummeted. Sexually transmitted diseases also made a turn that year and began to rise. In every major category for this nation, even financially, we'll find and we'll see where during the year that prayer is taken out of the schools, where we begin to struggle. And ever since that time, we've never recovered from that timeline when prayer was removed from the schools. Pregnancies, teenage pregnancies, takes a spike of increase that year. Domestic violences increased. The divorce rate from that year increased. Everything that has to do with the fabric of righteousness and prosperity of a nation also began to, it started its unraveling that year when prayer was taken up. It's incredible what happened when the Supreme Court silenced the voice of children in prayer.
George, with your experience, has there been a change in the church as well?
Well, I think the stats from a divorce alone, when they say it almost matches now in the church, would just speak for itself, saying that what Herb just reflected off of is that the church has now lost that that edge or that separation or that peculiarity that it had, that it was in a different category. I say that because that's just one picture we can see. There's so many churches or so many groups of people that are not like that, so that's not like a blank statement, but that's a general statistic across the board from that point until now. That would be one picture.
Krista, do we love prayer enough?
Do we love prayer enough?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I think I go back to, do we understand the power of prayer enough?
Oh, I like that.
Mm. And I would say no. And it comes to, I was just thinking about it as Herb and George were just sharing some really great nuggets. I was just kind of listening and contemplating myself. It provokes a really good conversation. You know, prayer is the coming into agreement with Jesus at the right hand of the Father, the intercessor. And as we partner with the Spirit of God, we're praying in the name of Jesus and the power of the name of Jesus. I think, you know, I'm of course saying a blanket statement, which typically I try to steer away from, but I think the reality is, as a nation, we've lost our understanding of the fear and the supreme authority of Jesus. And in that, I think, loss of revelation, it's affected our prayer, you know, our prayer life and the effectiveness of our prayers, meaning, you know, that revelation of knowing who we're praying alongside with, who we're praying through, whose name we're declaring and decreeing when we're praying, can change any situation. God of the impossible, in our through our prayers, He is God of possible. And so as a nation, we were always called to be interdependent with God, right, with Jesus. And our lack of prayer, our prayerlessness, has created us to be independent and has weaned us from our interdependence on God. Therefore, we've become weaker fundamentally because of our lack of dependence on the supreme authority of Jesus.
That's a good word. I think one of the things that I've noticed is a lack of fervency for prayer in men. In particular, there, if you, and again, I admit this is strictly anecdotal, but if you look at, if you go from church to church and you look at the prayer groups and the prayer teams and the prayer ministry, and you look at the intercessory prayer that is being set up in the church, it seems like it's dominated by women.
And go women.
Yeah, no, and I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I just think that that maybe men in particular have are the ones predominantly that have stepped back from that daily relationship with God because we tend to be so cerebral and not relational.
It's a good thought. You know, Dr. Cho, you know, he has one of the largest churches in the world, up to, I think, if I'm correct, and someone would have to check my statistic on this to make sure this is accurate, but up to about 1 million members in his church, that it's the women, and now all the, for the most part, most of the major key players in Dr. Cho's church, if I'm understanding correctly, are female. And he felt like women really understood what it was to come into a place of what it was to build kingdom through prayer and intercession in the executing of ministry, that it was more than task, that it was really built out of a place of praying through, gathering the strategy from heaven, then executing the vision in which the Lord gave you. And they have one of the most successful churches, and he attributes it to that. It's a good thought, you know, and it's a good point you brought up, Mark.
When we look at moves of God in our country, you'll see where men and women were set to praying. And A.T. Pearson wrote this: there has never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locality that did not begin in united prayer. And that is powerful. Matthew Henry said, whenever God intends great mercy for his people, he first sets them praying. And as we're in the National Day of Prayer right now, I'm trusting that scores of people who believe that prayer works will be lifting up a sound today for our nation, because she needs it badly. Krista's comment about the Korean revival that happened some time past, yes, it was the women who stepped up, and it was a powerful move that God came in on that, you know, into Seoul, Korea, to the place to where one church had nearly a tithe of a city of 10 million. And at that time, since then, there are almost 10,000 churches in Seoul alone. And you can see where the wave of revival that came into Korea, and primarily through Seoul in that day, was because of prayer. Our nation needs a move of God, people. And it's going to be those that are being stirred to pray for this nation that will step up and be used under the hand of God, and regarding especially the agenda of God. I don't know about you, but I run out of words in the first 10-15 minutes. I can have a list and a litany of what to say, but truly when we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to use our voice, but it's his words, his agenda, all of a sudden you find that you will be empowered to pray in a way that is beyond yourself. And that's, and I'm convicted in my own opinion that that's what we need as a nation, as people who are yielding themselves, that God, because he loves this country, he raised this country to get the gospel around the world. And that's one of the reasons that he gave us prosperity. But over the decades, we've turned it on ourselves, the pleasure of prosperity, and have lost the vision as to what this great country was raised up to do. And as a result of that, we're seeing now what happens to a country when she turns inward. It's time to reclaim what we're about. And that comes by God, in his mercy, coming upon a people. But he does it through prayer. And he drops the conviction on a person's heart. And as we yield to that conviction, allowing the Holy Spirit to express his words through us, it goes back into heaven, and then God gathers it and sends it to the earth as done. And this is what he's looking for, is as a people that cries out. When we look in Joel chapter 1, a nation pulls together, and they cry out to God, and he moves. If my people who are called by my name, in 2 Chronicles, will humble themselves and pray. And it says, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins. And here's the promise, America, and heal your land. People, we've got to lift it up. If you're driving right now and you hear our voice, right now, lift it up. Roll up your window or roll it down. We don't care, just as long as you're lifting it up. But make the sound. And let it to be the conviction of God coming through you so that we're in alignment to His will of the type of sound that He would love to hear.
So what would it take to heal our land? I mean, literally, in a practical sense. George, is it something that the church leads out, or is this an organic move of God that happens because He puts something in us?
Well, let's keep in mind the covenants that have been made with this nation. God has not forgotten them, even though we have.
Oh, that's good.
My dad was in the ministry over 75 years, and he always
said,
if you want revival, draw a circle around yourself and start in that circle. Yeah. So we're talking about prayer. We're not talking about mass people. Don't count your prayer meeting at your church and be discouraged, because the old prophet came to God one time. He was discouraged, and God said, wait a minute, there's 7,000 other guys down in another cave somewhere, and they're still on our side. So there's people that God is speaking to today all over this nation, just like He's speaking to us about prayer. This thing is the key, and God turns that key. Mm. I believe He's turning it now. So be encouraged. Just because it's on the calendar and we're celebrating it today, God has a calendar that's every day, and I just sense that there's a cry coming out of the people, just like Egypt, when the cry came up out of those slaves, and they said, God, send a deliverer. Well, God already had the deliverer. He was already prepared, and God has something prepared for us as we cry out.
Okay, that's really good.
That's a great point, is that God knew. He already had been preparing Moses literally for decades. The preparation was coming all the length and time that Israel was in bondage. So the deliverer had been prepared, and so then came the request, the cry out, right? But didn't it take them as a people to be led to that moment that they had to come to God and cry out for Him?
There is a cup of wrath that gets full up until it spills over, as well as a cup of suffering. And at some point, we get to the point where enough's enough. I've got to cry out to God.
Mm-hmm. So in our desperation.
Yeah, during the plagues of the Middle Ages, when they were losing the population of the world through these plagues, they finally went to the church.
Yeah.
And the church said, quarantine. They never heard of it. Well, it comes out of the Old Testament. They quarantined and saved the world because they went to the church. And I believe the church has lost the faith or the belief that prayer works. If you believe prayer works, you're praying every day. You're speaking to God every day. When you lose that edge, you lose that faith, you stop talking to God. Mm. We need that renewal back to the fact that the name of Jesus is powerful, and we have to have that relationship. We need it.
I feel like there's a key part in this that hasn't been brought up, and I'm just kind of sitting listening to the discussion. You know, I feel like we haven't seen the breakout and the breakthrough like we have been prophesied, and what we've contended for and what we've believed for, what we've prayed for so many years, for some of us decades. And there in the last few years has settled in a disappointment in our nation, and a disappointment among, I believe, many intercessors in believing for it. And I feel like if there's not that daily connect, if there's not that coming on our own before the Lord and keeping our heart abreast and fresh to the things of God, tuned in and connected to the Spirit of God, we can partner with that disappointment, and it can really take away, in a sense, our effectiveness as an intercessor, because we're praying from a place of unbelief and praying from a place of disappointment rather than praying from a place of faith. And that, to me, is essential in going after, because I'll look back, and I've been challenged in my own life as of recent, just going, man, I want that zeal in my prayer life like I used to have. And I've seen through circumstances in life, and just choosing to be vulnerable, where at moments I've ebbed and flowed in my passion and zeal. It's not because of my lack of love or commitment for Jesus. That's never wavered. But what's wavered is life experiences, if I'm not careful, replace my theology of who God is. And I have to be careful to stay dialed in like so many of us do and stay connected, that my experience or my lack of expectation being fulfilled in the way I thought it would be, or we'd already be at a different place as a nation.
That is excellent for you to bring that up. And one of the reasons is because if we are about the task but not in relationship, we will become disappointed.
Right, yes.
There's been times when I have had to sit before the Lord and just ask him to encourage me.
Yes, yes.
And if I didn't get encouragement from him, then it would be very difficult. In fact, you know, I think that may even be a strategic plan that hell brings, and that is to get behind us and push us into busyness.
Right.
And all of a sudden, before we know it, you know, we've lost that sweet reason why we've loved him from the beginning. Now we're so deep into the busyness that we're tired. And
right.
And the Lord wants us to be encouraged, and he only wants, and there's an anointing for the task. And if we can get pushed into busyness or task and shoved out of the anointing, then all of a sudden we're going to get tired in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
And the busyness, of course, the distractions, there literally is, I'm going to challenge some by this statement, and some won't like it, but there is a strategy from hell where there are personages that come from hell with this one assignment, and that is to create distractions amongst the believers. And those distractions are to keep you away from the simplicity of walking with Jesus and to begin mm-hmm. to drive you into complexity. And there's a lot of people that are discouraged because they can't figure it out because things are so busy and so complex. And I'm going to say to you, this thing is simple. Just be in relationship with Jesus and do what he says.
As you've been listening to our show today, I know we've brought up a lot of challenging points and points for you. We hope you're taking away and thinking about it and really praying with the Lord. Our desire for you and ourselves, of course, is to really continue to walk closely with Jesus in a lifestyle of prayer and meditation of the Lord and who he is. And as we just again have a National Day of Prayer, let us be a people that have a daily relationship, daily conversation with the Lord. And we just encourage you to press in for the more of God because it's available. I just want to take a moment, pray over you as a listener, and of course take some time to pray over this nation, as we believe God has so many incredible things in store for America. We do believe the best is yet to come. So, Jesus, we just thank you for this show and all that was discussed today. God, I pray for the listener that finds themselves weary and tired and prayer even sounds exhausting. Jesus, can you just meet them wherever they're at right now listening to this broadcast? Can you just invade that room and just let your love surround them. Remove the distractions, the busyness that we talked about today, and let it just come back to the simple place of what it is to walk with you, what it is to know you, just the joy of simply having relationship with you. God, bring us back to the original intent of your design. And for the one that is listening that desires the more, that's, you know, stayed the course and been the intercessor, Lord, just continue to, you know, breathe the breath of God into their prayers. Continue, Lord, just to fuel that passion and let them be a rallier of the church and the rallier of the people to bring people into agreement, Lord, with your will and with your spirit over this nation. And Lord, we just cover America and we just continue with this and partner with all the prayers that are happening today and beyond. And we just say yes for the will of God and yes for the plans of God over this beautiful nation. And Lord, where we've even become judgmental against our nation and critical of our nation, Lord, we cannot change a nation that we do not love. So turn our hearts to love the nation that you've put us in. And I call forth, Lord, your will and your plans over America. And we declare and decree that revival is coming.
Yes,
revival
God.
Is
yes,
here.
God. Amen.
And we believe that, Lord, there is going to be a major move across this nation. And Lord, I ask for the intercessors to be raised up once again to partner with your spirit. Lord, we thank you that we are born for such a time as this, yes. And we will see the greatest days ahead.
Come on.
In Jesus' name, yes. Amen.
We do hope you'll join us in our prayers for America, for this the greatest nation in the world, that she would return to God in a greater way again to unlock her potential as a nation that can truly change the world. We hope you enjoyed this National Day of Prayer special edition of Sought Out Global Radio. It's always our goal to bring you great topics and interesting dialogue and ministry to you each and every week. But we can't do that without your participation. So if you have some questions or comments about our radio program, won't you write us today? You can write us and tell us what you think by emailing us at radio@soughtoutglobal.com. You know, it's never too late to give to Sought Out Global Radio. Remember, we could never bring you Sought Out Global Radio without the generous gifts from our listeners. For more information on giving, please go to our website at soughtoutglobal.com. Well, that's all the time we have for this week. For Herb Marks, Krista Pitcairn, and George Watkins, I'm Mark Grote. Be sure to join us again here next week, right here on Sought Out Global Radio.
The preceding program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Radio, calling you into greatness. If you would like to sign up to become partners with Sought Out Global Radio, you can do that at soughtoutglobal.com.